If you've spotted a house you'd like to buy, only to find yourself bidding against someone else for it, you've figured out that the housing market is hot again, and not just in the Twin Cities. The big question is, are we headed for another bubble? Economics writer Chris Farrell has been thinking about that, and he joins me in the studio. Welcome. Good to have you here, Chris.
Thanks for having me.
And I think Chris and I would like to hear about your house buying or selling experience. Are you feeling like you're being priced out of the market, especially if you're a first-time home buyer? And we're also interested in whether you've just decided, you know what, the prices are high, we'll remodel, we'll stay put, Chris, instead of getting out there and having to bid against someone else for a new house.
That's right.
And you were saying that the concern with that is that's why maybe some of the inventory, there's not as much inventory on houses for sale.
There just isn't. And that's one of the reasons why prices are moving up so fast and people are out there looking. And it's a fascinating shift because you buy a first-time home, right? And the idea was you're going to own it for a certain period of time, and then you're going to sell it, and you're going to upgrade yourself. And a lot of people grew up with that image in mind, and that's what their parents had done. And now I think more and more people are saying, you know, the neighborhood, I like the neighborhood. My commute to work is pretty good. You know, maybe I should just, you know, turn that one-bedroom attic into a two-bedroom attic or, you know, do a little bit of work on the kitchen rather than selling my home.
Let me put the number out. So you hear how we've kind of framed the conversation here. We want to hear from you if you're a first-time home buyer and you're out there and you're feeling like you're getting priced out of the market, or if you've made this decision, as Chris describes, to maybe stay put because the market just feels a little too hot for you to upgrade, to go buy something else. 651-227-6000, 800-242-2828. I'm on Twitter. You can tell me about how you're feeling this housing market right now on Twitter, at @CarrieMPR. Chris, you heard me mention the word bubble, and I think that's the uneasiness, the queasiness that everybody feels when we start to see the prices do this again.
Yes.
Are you feeling like we're headed for a bubble or not?
I don't think we're headed toward a bubble, a macroeconomic bubble. What I am concerned about is particularly the first-time home buyer. It's the microeconomics. It's the household finances that more and more people are stretching to buy as they see prices go up and there isn't a whole lot of inventory out there. And, you know, the job market is healthier and the millennials are getting older and more established in their careers. So there's a lot of reasons why you can see what's happening right now. But I don't think it's a bubble such as we had in 2006.
Because of what the banks are doing? Because of what's happening with credit?
Because at least at this moment in time, in the higher end of the market's behaving a little more normally. If you look at the $400,000 home plus,
okay,
you know, it's selling, but it's taking a little bit of time for them to sell. People are being a little more cautious. So there you're not seeing much of a bubble effect. It's all in that lower end side of the market. And that's why Richfield, for example, is just so hot right now because it's got a lot of smaller homes that can go for a lower price. But of course, that lower price is disappearing really quickly. So from the local area, yes, this is a big concern. I'm less concerned about a national real estate bubble, but I do think this does highlight an economic problem for the Twin Cities.
Which is?
Affordable housing.
Right.
I mean, that is really a big issue. And affordable housing used to be a niche area, right? I mean, you could always find people were concerned about affordable housing, but it didn't grab a whole lot of attention. Now, I think places like the Twin Cities, people like Charlotte, other towns around the country, cities around the country are really concerned about it's getting harder and harder for young people to move in, to find a place to live. The jobs are there, but the housing stock is not.
Call here from Rob in Minnetonka. Hey, Rob, hi.
How's it going?
Hi. Are you in the market for a new house or are you
out on this? We're going back and forth between, so we love our neighborhood and the wife and kids, of course, because anytime you ask them if they want to move, it's no. they want to stay and add on. And we do live in a great neighborhood, and they're actually, there's been a few purchases and teardowns, and they're putting up, you know, million-dollar homes. But I'm not finding the value in. We're talking about adding, you know, redoing the kitchen and adding on some square footage in another bedroom, and the price to me for doing that just at least for the quotes that we've got, it doesn't seem to make sense in a way to, you know, just as far as take the equity that we already have and just purchase a new house. So I'm wondering what your guest has to say about, you know, where do you really draw the line on that?
Right. So a lot of that has to do with how long are you going to stay in the home? Because when I'm talking about remodeling and people that I recently have been talking to, this is where they're going to live. This is it. So it's partially, of course, you at the end of some period of time when you do finally sell it, perhaps during your retirement years, you're going to want to have equity there and have value there. But then it's also a lifestyle because it's easy to commute and the schools are nearby and you like the amenities. So part of it is an economic calculation of, look, just what you're facing is if we sell it and we can move elsewhere, we can come out ahead financially. But and get a nicer home. But then what's the neighborhood effect? Is this what's the commuting effect in terms of work? What's the schooling effect? You know, all those other kinds of questions. So I do think he's hit on a very important point. When people are remodeling, they're really putting down roots for the long haul in that neighborhood. And that is one of the consequences of making that decision.
Chris, we were just talking about this in the newsroom today, and one of our producers she's a millennial, and she's in a situation where it would be nice to start looking for a house. And she's concerned about whether some of those first-time home buying incentives are going to be around if she waits, if she kind of waits out the hot market.
You know, here's the reality. You can't look at the market. You have to look at your personal finances. And so really the key question to ask before you even go look at a house is how secure is your job? And or how secure is your job and your partner's job? Because if your job is insecure, if it's uncertain, if you think over the next couple of years, I might want to go to New York and try something there. Maybe I'll go to...
Don't give her ideas, Chris.
Well, okay.
I want her to stay on the show.
She's
going to
stay. But if there's insecurity to your job or uncertainty about what it is you're going to be doing, then you want to rent. And if you don't see big wage increases in the future... Do you want to then stretch? So really think very carefully about your career, your job, your income security, then start looking at houses.
And that stretching, you make a good point on this before we go back to some calls. If the wages are not, and we've seen this stagnation, it's getting a little bit better. It's improving the wages a bit,
just a titch, right?
So you want to be careful about stretching because your income may not go up as quickly as you would want it to be if you're stretching to buy a house.
So for the people listening to this, there's one expression that I want them to take away. You don't want to be house poor.
Yeah.
Being house poor is no fun. And go talk to people who have been house poor
That's right.
before you say, well, that's not such a big deal, because it really is a big deal. And it can lead to a lot of stress in relationships. I mean, it really is not fun. So just remember, you don't want to be house poor.
Good. To Allison in Minneapolis. Hi, Allison. Sounds like you're in the market for a house. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. My boyfriend and I have been, you know, renters for 8 to 10 years and are now at the point where we'd love to be investing rather than throwing the money away every month. So we've been looking for about 3-4 months now and have looked at probably 60 homes all in kind of across all of South Minneapolis.
Oh my gosh.
And have put in 2 unsuccessful offers that were a couple percentages above the asking price.
Wow.
And missed out on both. So it's just been, you know, to the points that you were all making, it's been a disappointing process.
I guess.
All along the way.
60 houses and 2 offers. This does sound frustrating.
It is frustrating. So this is just one suggestion.
Okay,
to,
good.
This is what you should do. That's not what I'm saying. But this is a suggestion. You now actually have a real stock of knowledge about South Minneapolis and the real estate market. And I imagine you've seen a lot of places and you kind of know what you like. So I'd actually take a step back, add to your savings, keep an eye out, travel around the neighborhoods, you know, walk in some open houses. This market is not going to stay this hot. It just isn't. You're going to start seeing, I mean, builders are seeing what's going on. They're listening to this conversation we're having right now. The builders are going to be out there. And I know it takes time for stuff to unfold. But nonetheless, this sort of heated market will calm down. There will be a better balance between supply and demand over the next year or two. So you have a stock of knowledge. You know what you like. You know the neighborhood you're looking for. Continue your savings. Stay alert to what's going on. And then my suspicion is you'll figure out and you'll get an opportunity to buy a place. But the one thing you don't want, and I got a press release the other day, and it was from you know, the world's leading real estate expert. And what he was saying in there is, you know, you got to go in and you got to be willing to just bid up. You got to, you have to win. It's all about winning the bid. And I'm reading this, and I send a note to you, Carrie, going,
that's not what you want to be
doing.
That's
not what you want to do. You just don't.
So I love your advice for Allison, too, because stocking away more money for the down payment over the next 18 months while she's alert to what's happening in the neighborhood, there's no downside to
that. There's none.
Right?
There's none.
They get into maybe a house that's a little larger or has a bigger yard or whatever than they could do now.
Or they get lucky and they find the place they want. And
there's,
you know,
money for travel or
whatever. And the other thing is owning a home is expensive. I mean, there's things like maintenance. And anybody who's been living in an apartment and moves into a home all of a sudden learns that that furniture that was fine in your apartment doesn't look so good in the home. And there's just all kinds of things. So owning a home is expensive. It is a long-term commitment. But so long as you're not house poor, it can make a lot of sense for people to own.
Jillian says on Twitter here, Chris, I'm thankful for the conversation today about housing. I'm 34. I've rented my entire adult life. Do not want to be house poor. Brandon says, we're lucky to have a great apartment in a great neighborhood. Buying means spending more to get less. Frustrating that we can't buy here. Let's come back just for a second here, Chris, to this idea that, but you're not getting any equity when you're renting. Our producer said this today. Her parents said, you know, hey, a good way to invest is to get equity in a home. So you should buy when you can.
Yes. And if you look at most of the parents, when they bought, there was really no such thing as a second mortgage, a home equity loan. And so it was forced savings. If you rent in today's world with all our, you know, online banking and electronics, you can build up equity just as easily as a homeowner, in fact, more efficiently. So when you get your paycheck and it goes automatically into your checking account, you just, you know, 2 or 3 days later, automatically some sum goes out of your checking account into your savings account. That's the exact same thing as your parents were doing. And one of the things that went wrong in the 2000s, that sort of 2003, 2006 period, is that people drained all their equity. They owned a home, but they took out a second mortgage or a third mortgage in order to do some stuff around the house or to go travel or give themselves a pay raise. And they didn't have any equity. They weren't behaving the way that we mentally still think this rationally.
Right. Yeah.
So renters, you are not throwing your money away if you are renting. You can just as easily and, in fact, more efficiently build up equity. You just have to make it automatic, just as paying a mortgage automatically increases your savings.
Troy says, working on saving up the down payment, but the rent price loop is, it sounds like that's, here it is stretching that time frame tremendously. So putting as much on a down payment because rents are high too. We're aware of that. Chris in Norwood. Hey, Chris, you're a home inspector. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah. What, how do you see the market?
Well, it's interesting. As I inspect homes for my clients, I'm finding that a lot of them have come out on top of that bidding war pile, and they're very concerned about what state the home is in, because if there's a critical problem with the home, then they walk away, but there's still 10 people behind them that want to come and buy it.
Uh-huh.
And it's gotten to the point where people are waiving their inspection right.
Whoa.
Home.
Oh, such a bad move.
Yeah,
such a bad move.
A lot of the homes that are available that are in the lower price ranges that people with FHA or VA programs are trying to buy are their grandma and grandpa's homes. Grandma and grandpa are gone, or it's and the children are selling the home, but a lot of times they don't want to put the money into it to make it qualify for those programs.
Right.
So then these buyers come in, and they can't actually get the house because the furnace is old, it's got a water leak in the basement, it's got peeling paint. It's just, it needs some maintenance, and a lot of it's deferred maintenance, and it just, nobody wants to fix it. So then people cycle through these homes until they get a cash buyer or a conventional buyer that can take it.
Right. Chris, I'm really glad you called, because you were saying, Chris Farrell, that if you spend everything you've got on just acquiring the house and you run into a situation where you have to replace the furnace or the roof, you're in trouble.
You know, just remember, markets fluctuate, and that includes the housing market. I mean, we just went through, you know, a real downturn. Now now the market's much healthier, and this is great that it's growing and people who are selling are able to get decent prices. But there are some fundamentals in the market, and an inspection is really important. And so when people start waiving inspections in order to win the bidding, that's a mistake. When people stretch too much, or they go in and they realize, I'm going to get a good raise this year. I know I'm going to get a good raise this year. So we can stretch here. And so these fundamentals, go back to the fundamentals, go back to the basics, particularly when a market is hot. These are your protections against getting caught up. And it just may be that for a period of time, you have to step back. Wait till things cool down or your personal finances get better. But please don't do things like waive the inspection in order to get the house. You want that inspection. You want to know what you're getting into. You don't want to end into, you know, a house that just absorbs all your money.
Yeah. Kate is tweeting saying, what is being house poor?
So what is being house poor is all your money's going to the mortgage.
You have nothing for nothing else.
You got nothing for nothing else. You're not building up any savings. You don't have emergency savings. You're not able to repair. He mentioned about the boiler. You're not able to make some of those repairs in the basement that really need to be made, because that's kind of eroding a little bit about the foundation. And the only way you can do that is if you take on more debt. And so you're not going to take a vacation this year. That's what it means to be house poor. That's when you start worrying about, you know, we can't have a date night anymore because all the money's going to the mortgage.
Right. Sarah says, I've been both. I think she means house poor and not. House poor is the worst. A good thing about real estate market crash and burn, it necessitates this conversation. Wish I knew then what she knows now. And to the phones to Kristen in Minneapolis. Hey, Kristen, hi.
Hi.
Hi. Where are you at on this housing market situation?
Well, whenever I hear these conversations, there's one thing I kind of wonder about, and that is, let's say you live in a neighborhood in a house you like, but, you know, your family's grown a little bit, or you decide that you just want a little more room and you renovate, but it was an affordable house then. Once you renovate, you've effectively removed an affordable house from that market, and it's almost the same thing as a teardown, but just by renovating, you do that too. And I'm just wondering if you all have ever thought about that impact that
really
renovation has on that market.
Yeah,
I think it's a really good question, because this is one of the things that, you know, we're dealing with here in the Twin Cities and elsewhere around the country. But there's another way of looking at it, which is what you're doing is you're upgrading your housing stock. You're actually investing in the neighborhood. You're improving the housing stock. And so I think net, and, you know, from an economic point of view, everything is net, their costs, their benefits. So net, I think it's good for the neighborhood, particularly if people remodel as opposed to the teardown. Teardown raises a number of issues in terms of the kinds of houses people are putting up and, you know, going right up next to their neighbor's
property line
and all kinds of quality of life issues that are disturbing. I think typically what you're describing is more upgrading the housing stock and showing to people, we are making an investment in this neighborhood. We believe in this neighborhood. This is a good neighborhood. We are putting money into it.
Boy, Chris, we need a whole nother show on this, because we're getting so many good questions here. So we will do this. We'll come back and we'll talk about housing in the next couple of weeks. Kim wants to know, what are you considering affordable housing? What's the price range for that?
So, here, what people are sort of talking about, you know, the 120 to 300,000, it's in that range. And, you know, a lot of what is the median, what is about 221 in the Twin Cities. And it's so if you have a house and you put on the market, it's in that $150,000 range, you're getting multiple bids.
Okay. Right. So that would be what you'd consider to be affordable. That's the market that's super hot. 500,000 and above, still kind of.
That's
still,
much
still
lower.
Temperate.
I mean, there's still activity going on there. And that was the market that, if we were having this conversation 2 years ago, you did have more activity in that side of the market. People had more wealth. People had more equity. There were some attractive deals out there. Now it's This is the first time home buyer getting into the market.
So glad you emailed me yesterday on this, Chris.
It's always
a pleasure. You set us off on a good conversation, and we'll come back and we'll talk about it soon. Thank you.
Thanks.